So negotiations and diplomacy surround the situation in Gaza this morning. France's foreign minister says he and President Nicolas Sarkozy are considering going to Israel to try and end the violence in Gaza after the Israeli government rejected a 48-hour pause in the fighting. The proposal that put an immediate stop to its five-day campaign of airstrikes in Gaza was floated by France's foreign minister. What are the diplomatic aims of the French government there? Gaza officials say at least 374 people have died in the 5 days since the attacks began. Joining us now is Alan Johnstone. He's the former Gaza correspondent for our partner, the BBC. He's in London now following the diplomatic efforts to negotiate a ceasefire in this conflict. And Alan Johnstone also is probably the best person we could talk to for some context as to what's going on in Gaza at this moment. Alan, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks very much. It's good to be with you.
Now, you know the streets and alleyways of the most densely populated strip of land on planet Earth. There's been much made of the use of drones and targeting of weaponry to take out specific Hamas positions. What's your assessment of the capability of the Israeli military in this so far?
Well, you know, this is an assault by the Israeli Air Force on a scale that Gaza and Hamas have simply never seen before. This has been the most ferocious attack from the air since the War of Independence, since the 67 war of more than 40 years ago now. And Gaza and Hamas is reeling. I spoke to friends just a day ago, and certainly everything you see on your television screens is being played out in everybody's life there at the moment. The situation is dire, huge numbers of casualties, the situation always difficult for the hospitals of Gaza, and now absolutely under the most extraordinary strain. In every way, Gaza is suffering at the moment, and as you were saying in your cue there, the fighting seems to be set to go on. This effort by the French to call a halt has been rejected by the Israelis, who say the conditions just aren't right for a ceasefire yet, in their view.
Now, it's fair to say that Hamas is willing to take this sacrifice of casualties in the pursuit of some political aim, because it ended the ceasefire. And Israel's argument, and it's not a bad one, is that Hamas is gambling that it's going to come out of this with a higher profile. What do you think the specific aim of Hamas is at this point?
Hamas, if you want to understand what drives the organization, you probably need to go back to some very basic facts. Most of the people in Gaza are from families of refugees, people who lost their home in the war of 1948, which was started and lost by the Arab armies. And then in their refugee camps for more than 40 years, the people of Gaza, Hamas supporters, of course, among them, have endured decades of Israeli occupation or blockade. And the organization is utterly committed to confronting Israel. That is its raison d'etre. It is reeling at the moment. It is suffering more than it ever has been made to suffer before. But it is almost always a mistake to underestimate Hamas's tenacity and capacity to pull itself together and keep going, and at the moment it is managing to do that. The rockets are threatening the villages and towns of Israel.
On that point, though, Alan, I mean, before we get into the issue of missiles, I mean, you owe your life to Hamas. You were taken prisoner by Hamas in Gaza, or by an Islamist group in Gaza, and it was Hamas that helped to organize your release. How do you assess their ability to play this politically? Because, it's a very dangerous game right now.
Well, sure. In my case, Hamas had just taken charge of the strip while I was actually being held kidnapped by another much smaller group. And Hamas laid down the law as it saw it in Gaza and acted to free me on that issue. You know, I was lucky. But this is an entirely separate thing, the confrontation with Israel. And under this kind of intense military pressure, I've seen, and under less than we're seeing at the moment, I've seen the military militants of Hamas begin to weary, certainly, begin quietly to hope there might be some kind of lull, and you could see them being ground down into that state over the days to come. You may well see the numbers of missiles starting to tail off that have been fired from Gaza, but we're not at that point yet. Up to midday, something like 20 or more missiles have been sent out of Gaza, and some of them going further than ever before, which means that Hamas has been using bigger armaments, that more Israeli civilians are being threatened as we speak.
And there's no strategic significance to the use of missiles. It is a provocation, and it's not as though anything can really be accomplished other than maintaining this standoff and this sense of militancy on the part of Hamas. Do you think there is a point beyond which the pain is so great that there is a permanent sort of diminishing of Hamas's power in Gaza? It's already an open question as to whether they can run the territory.
Well, you're absolutely right. There is no sort of major military threat from Hamas at the moment for Israel, but it is psychologically and symbolically important for this organization, as I say, whose raison d'etre is to confront Israel, to be showing that it is, in its words is resisting occupation, and it isn't hard to launch these rockets, two or three men darting into an olive grove, setting up their mortar, and it's all over in a moment, and another missile is sent off.
I mean, simple tactics, but very, exactly. Very complicated consequences on both sides. Alan Johnston, thanks so much for joining us. Alan Johnston is a BBC correspondent who reports from Gaza and was actually taken prison there, as we alluded to earlier. He joined us from our partner, the BBC, in London. And now Femi Okeh with some quick headlines.
29 minutes past the hour.